السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Dr. Ali Zaini teaching the weekend Islamic school, the Islamic studies, and our topic today is the Hadith of the Intentions. But before we get into there, let's learn a little bit about Hadith science, how the Hadith was obtained, and the chain of narration, and it's a short video.
This lecture deals with the topic of Hadith of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. In this lecture, we will discuss the meaning, parts, types, classification, and some famous books of Hadith. The word Hadith means news, report, or narration. In Islamic terminology, the term Hadith refers to the sayings, actions, and tacit approval or disapproval of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, for any action. Each hadith has two parts, sanad and matan. Sanad technically means chain of transmission or chain of narrators, or the sequential list of names of groups of narrators who narrate a particular hadith. Matan consists of words from the Prophet himself. There are three basic types of hadith, qawli hadith, fe'li hadith, taqriri hadith. Qawli hadith is what Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, spoke himself. Fe'li hadith is the action the Prophet performed and demonstrated. The taqriri hadith comes from the silence of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, regarding any action. There are six authentic books of ahadith, which are called sahasita, meaning the six authentic books of hadith. Their names are Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Sunan Abu Dawud, Sunan Nasai, Sunan Tirmizi, and Sunan Ibn Majah. Ahadith are classified into following categories. Sahih, or genuine, or authentic. These are hadith that pass all the tests and can be regarded without any question coming from the Prophet. Hasan, or good, are strong hadith but raise some doubt about the authenticity. They are the ones whose sources are known and the reporters are unambiguous. Zaif, or weak, are the hadith that raise many questions about its authenticity. It fails to reach the status of hasan. Mawzu are fabricated or forged. They are hadith whose text goes against the established norms of Prophet's sayings, or its reporters include a liar.
Okay. So you understand now how the hadiths were narrated and from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Prophet, the hadith used to be written even when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive and right after his death. And then the scholars of Islam came and they sorted through these hadith, they ranked them and they studied the biography of each one person in the chain of narration, and you did marvelous job into doing that, authenticating and sorting of a hadith. The book of Imam Bukhari is the most correct book after the Holy Quran. So why? Because Imam Bukhari had the toughest criteria. He once, when he hears that someone narrated the hadith, he travels and he travels to this person, ask this person to host him. And it was the tradition, the Arabian tradition, is that when you get a guest, you don't ask him about his story unless, except after 3 days. You can't do that before 3 days. So he heard that the person narrated the hadith. So he traveled to this person and then he stayed with him for 3 days. He was watching him to see how his memory is doing. Does he have, and he talks to him to see how his memory is. Does he have a strong memory or weak memory? How are his, like, what kind of a person is he? So while he was observing him, the guy had, the camel ran away from the guy. So the guy cheated the camel to make the camel come back. He pretended that he's offering the camel food, but he wasn't. So the camel came, thinking that he's offering him food, then he caught the camel. So Imam Bukhari started, you know, gathering his stuff to leave. The man told him, oh, I didn't know, why did you come here? He said, I came because I heard that you narrated hadith from the Prophet. However, because you cheated the camel, then there's a possibility that you cheated on the hadith. So I'm not going to narrate the hadith from you. Now, another example about hadith narration is that when 40 people who don't know each other, okay, and it's impossible for them to make the same mistake, okay, it's impossible for them to make the same lie or to make the same mistake. When they 40 people narrate a hadith, okay, then that hadith is very authentic, very authentic. Now, today we're going to study one of the hadith, which hadith of the intention. Hadith of the intention is the first hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, which is the most correct book after Quran, one of the most authentic books of hadith. And this hadith is called Hadith of the Intention. So let's watch the introductory movie.
Imagine you wrote a letter to someone named Jay, but you wrote the address of another guy named Tom. Whom would it reach? In the same way, when someone does a good deed, but he did not do it for the sake of God. Instead, his intention or motive is flattering. In other words, to be noticed and praised by other people. The deed will not get its reward from the God, but he may get noticed and praised by the people he intended. In the period of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his companions were migrating from their hometown Mecca to Medina and left back their wealth and families after facing troubles from Mecca, only for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. At that time, a man emigrated from Mecca to Medina to marry a woman named Qais, not for the sake of God. Then the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكَحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. Which means, the deeds are considered by the intentions, and a person will get the reward according to his intention. So whoever emigrated for Allah and His Messenger, his emigration will be for Allah and His Messenger. And whoever emigrated for worldly benefits or for a woman to marry, his emigration would be for what he emigrated for. Even though the man traveled the same distance from Mecca to Medina and he suffered the same like the other Sahabas, he won't get the reward from the God, like the Sahabas who emigrated, because of the difference in their intentions. In addition, the Sahabas who emigrated were called as Muhajirs, and he was called as Muhajir Qais, which means the one who migrated for Qais, the lady. A simple intention, niyyah, in his mind, makes the great difference. This is why the niyyah has great place in Islam. And also, the said hadith, the saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the first one to be mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, which is considered the rightest book after the Holy Quran. So many authors followed this way of preferring this hadith as the first one in their book. Some other facts about this hadith are, the four important scholars, namely Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh, Malik rahmatullahi alayh, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh, have said that 1/3 of the total ilm, knowledge, enters in this hadith. And Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh have said that 70 chapters in the fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence, are linked to this hadith. So the niyyah is considered the most important thing in iman. No action or good deed is accepted without the niyyah. It is said in another hadith, in the day of resurrection, a mortal will be brought in front of Allah and asked what did he do for the blessings he got from Allah, he will say, I fought in your cause until I was more tired. God will say that, you fought only to be said by the people, you were brave. So the people said it. Then Allah will order him to be dragged upon his face until he is cast into hellfire. And the hadith continues, in which the cases of a man who learned the knowledge and taught it to others, and a man who was given abundance of wealth for charity are mentioned. Both of them will be punished because their intention was to be praised by the people. So the subject of this hadith teaches us, if we don't have the niyyah, the intention to satisfy Allah, our deeds or actions are not accepted, and we will be punished if we do them to be praised by the people, which is called as flattering. Here's another hadith about the importance of niyyah. Whoever intend to perform a good deed, but did not do it, then Allah writes it down with himself as a complete good deed. And if he intended to perform it and did perform it, then Allah writes it down with him some 10 good deeds up to 700-fold, up to many times multiplied. From this hadith, we can learn that the reward for a good deed is written in our ledger when we just intend to perform it. Let's try to follow everything we learned from this video, and nothing can happen without God's will. So let's ask Allah to wish what is best for us. There are still hours and hours of explanation for this hadith, which can't be said in a video clip. And thanks for watching. See you all in the next video. If you like this video, give us a thumbs up and subscribe. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and visit our site, and the links are below in the description.
Okay. So that was a brief video about intentions, setting the intentions, and we're going to talk in details about this in a few minutes now, actually. So, the motives that should motivate us to do good deeds should be the love of Allah, desire to go to Jannah, and fear of hell. Three motivations, spiritual motivations. That should set our intention. If you have any other intention, then it depends, like we're going to talk in a few minutes. Two people are going to do the same exact deed, identical deeds. One of them is going to heaven because of his deed, and the other one's going to hell because of his deed. And it is the same exact deed. What is it? One had a good intention for the sake of Allah. The other one had an intention for the sake of showing off. So one is rewarded, the other one is punished. Okay. There is two jokes about the intention. The first joke is about a guy who was good Muslim, taking Islam seriously, and he was in the masjid alone, and he was praying, and Quran touched his heart, so he started crying. Okay, and then his friends came into the masjid to see him crying, so they started talking with each other. Look at brother so and so, look how humble he is, look how much he loves Allah and he has a soft heart. So he quitted the prayer and he said, and I am, wallahi al-azim, I am fasting too. I am fasting too. So that is the funny thing. Another joke is about a person who used to pray very quickly, and praying very quickly is a deficient prayer. Sometimes it's not acceptable. Most of the time actually is not acceptable. So he was used to pray very fast. And once he heard, was praying, so he heard the sound before, behind his back. So he thought that somebody came. So he started making the salah, making it perfect. He wouldn't go fast. He would go with reasonable speed, and he would take his time reading and reciting and everything. And at the end of the prayer, He looked behind him to see who was watching him doing that, and he found the dog. that was watching him. So he was perfecting his prayers for the sake of dog, not even for the sake of a human. Okay. There are, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there are through four categories of people. Okay. The first group are people, or the first person is a person who is rich and righteous. RR, rich and righteous. So he's spending his money for the sake of Allah, to promote Islam, to do good deeds, charity, and every good thing. That is the first person. And the second person is a person who is righteous but poor. So poor and, you know, righteous but poor. So he can't spend money for the sake of Allah. However, he looks at his brother, which is rich and righteous, and he sees him spending money for the sake of Allah. Then he says, he had a desire inside him, and he says, Ya Allah, if I have this money, I would have donated like my brother is donating. So then Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his fingers like that, and he said, they are equally rewarded. So the rewards that the rich righteous gets, a copy will go to the rich, to the righteous poor, because he wanted, he had the correct intention, which is to do it. So he gets the full reward just because of his intention. And then the third kind is a person who is rich and bad, evil person, is rich and bad. So he's spending his money in parties and evil things, instead of spending in a charity or in good cause, he's spending his money in a really bad stuff. And then, there is another friend, okay, which is the fourth kind, is a man who is poor and bad, who is bad and poor. So he looks at his bad rich friend and he says, I wish I have this much money that he has, so that I can do exactly what he's doing. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said they are equally sinful. So whatever sin is committed by the rich and bad, a copy will go to the poor and bad. Why? Because he intended to do like his brother. So by this intention, okay, they are by the intention, they are being judged. Similarity of hearts. Okay, the rich and righteous have the same heart like the poor and righteous. Both of them have pure righteous hearts. Okay. On the other hand, the evil rich and the evil poor, they have the same evil heart. So that's why they were both equally punished. Now, in the Quran, Allah blamed the Jews who fought Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the mistakes of their predecessors. Okay? How is that fair? You know, how could it be fair that Allah will blame the Jews of Prophet Muhammad for the mistakes of the Jews that were committed centuries before them? Because the reason is because of the similarity of heart. The Jews that came way centuries before them, they killed prophets. They gave prophets hard time. They refused to believe in the truth, and etc., etc. So the Jews that existed at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew Prophet Muhammad from his description in their books. And then they decided not to believe into him because they wanted the prophet to be from a Jewish prophet. They wanted the prophet to come from the children of Israel, a Jewish prophet. And they were so mad that Allah sent the Arab prophet. And then they say, Wallahi, we're never going to believe into him. Okay? So these have similar hearts to the ones before. So Allah's blaming them for the mistakes of their fathers that were committed centuries below because they had exactly similar hearts. Now, many people have evil intentions, but Allah will not allow everybody to do the evil that He intended. Otherwise, the earth is going to be ruined. Allah reduces evil by limiting the abilities of bad people and limiting their numbers so that life becomes possible. Okay? If Allah would let all the evil in the hearts of the people come out, then we would be miserable. Okay? For example, there are many people who have the heart of Hitler, just exactly the same heart. If they were placed in the same situation, they would do exactly what Hitler did. Okay? I call them many Hitlers, but only one was given the power to do it. Only one, okay, of them. However, there are so many of him, okay, of Hitler, but he is the one, only one that was selected to have the powers of Hitler, because if there are more, then disaster, the earth is going to be ruined. Disasters are going to happen. He killed 17 million people, and that wasn't the record. Stalin killed 55 million people, and Mao killed 35 or 25 million people. Same idea, by the way, applies to the pharaoh. There are so many people who are many pharaohs. So they are, but they don't have, they are pharaohs. They have the heart of the pharaoh, but they don't have the powers of the pharaoh. Okay. So how is that? Why Allah did that? Because Allah wants to limit evil on earth by just making only one of them be able to become a pharaoh. Okay. And make it not possible for the other pharaohs. However, they have the same heart. And they would both do the same exact thing if they are put in power. Okay. There is the intention of the believer is better than his deed. Why? Because the believer said, I will donate $100,000, intend to donate $100,000. I will intend to pray 100 rak'ahs. I will intend to pray, you know, this makes all these good intentions. But when time comes to perform these intentions, he can't do all of this. So he falls short. So that's, but he's rewarded because of his intention, but he falls short on the action. So that's why the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or someone else, I'm not sure this is hadith or not, that the intention of the believer is better than his deeds. Now, on the other hand, for hypocrites, their deeds are better than their intentions because they have bad intentions, okay? And their intentions is not for the sake of Allah. Their intention was always to achieve either wicked goals or show off or something like that. Another thing is a good thing about intention, that if you pray Fajr every day and one day you missed Fajr because you're sick, Allah would send an angel to pray instead of you, and you get a reward, full reward, which is like exactly as if you left your bed and went to the masjid. Okay? Because the sickness is the one that prevented you. Okay. On the other hand, if you're not going to pray Fajr in the masjid in the normal days or in the weekends, then if you get sick and you can't pray in the masjid, there are no reward, because when you were healthy, you didn't come. So there is no reward for you being sick and couldn't come, because you wouldn't come anyway. Same thing for Hajj. The people who intend to do Hajj, but they couldn't, Allah will send angels to do Hajj instead of them. Why? Because they had the intention. But of course, that doesn't satisfy the pillars of Islam. He has to go for real Hajj to satisfy the pillars of Islam. if he can afford it and if he can have the health. But many people plan to go to Hajj and they start the process and then they get maybe denied a visa, maybe they missed the flight, maybe one way or another. Now, another good thing and sweet thing about the intention comes when you see that Allah rewards Jannah for everlasting life. Jannah in ever grants good guys Jannah for everlasting life. Even though these good guys worshipped Allah maybe only 70 years, maybe something like that. So then how come when they worship 70 years, they get the eternal life in Jannah, unlimited, not endless? And the answer is that, the simple answer is that they, if Allah will give them an everlasting life, they would worship Allah all their everlasting life. Okay? How about the non-believers, the bad guys? How come they go to hellfire forever? Based on their intention. Because if Allah would give them an everlasting life, they will continue to disobey Allah and commit evil all this time. So they are being punished based on their intention too. Okay? Now, sincerity is to do the deeds regardless whether people see you or don't see you, compliment you or don't compliment you. That shouldn't affect your deed. Sometimes people, a person will say to himself, okay, a person would always go to the masjid early and pray sunnah, long prayer. And then one time he went to the masjid, he found people there. So he told himself that I'm not going to be praying in front of them. Otherwise, this would be like a show off if I pray in front of them. Now, and he ended up not praying the usual prayer. So now, technically speaking, he doesn't have the right intention. His intention is wrong, because the right way is to do it whether people see you or don't see you. You're just like ignoring the presence of the people. There is a story that happened in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is that Zayd ibn Haritha was sent to attack a tribe with the army of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so one of the soldiers, he was about to kill a bad guy. So the bad guy said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I declare that there is no God except him, and Muhammad is his messenger." So Usama, he said, "Oh yeah, right. I'm supposed to believe you when you are under my sword." And he killed him. Now, when they went back and he told the Prophet Muhammad the story, he's told him the story, the Prophet Muhammad got very mad and his face turned into red. And he said, "How dare you? How dare you kill someone after he declared that there is no God except Allah, after he said, La ilaha illallah. Did you open his heart?" Osama replied and said, "He didn't say it until he saw me, he saw my sword going down onto his neck. And then he said it. He said, did you cut his heart to figure out his intentions? What are you going to be doing in the day of judgment when Allah will bring you to judge you for killing that person?" Okay. Ali ibn Abi Talib, one time he was about to kill a bad guy also, and the guy spat on his face. So Ali stopped fighting the guy and he walked away. So his friends ask him, "Why did you just walk away in the last minute? Were you about to kill the guy?" He said, because when he spat on my face, I was afraid that I'm killing him because he spat on my face. So I walked away from him because I want to have sincere intention when I kill somebody that I'm doing it for the sake of Allah purely. Angels know the intentions and they write it down. There is a very nice story about the shaitan and a righteous person, a righteous slave of Allah, or a righteous servant of Allah, that really shows you how important is the intention. This guy, the righteous servant of Allah, heard that there is a tree that is being worshipped by people, by the local people over there, instead of Allah. Because people worship the ones who provide to them. So they worship the tree because the tree provides them food. So they think that tree is holy. So now so the righteous servant of Allah heard about this tree. So he took an axe and he walked to the tree to cut off the tree. Okay. So in the way, shaitan showed up in his face and he said, where do you think you're going? He said, I'm going to cut this X tree that's being worshipped instead of Allah. So the shaitan said, no, you're not. That's my tree and I use it. You're not going to touch it. He said, yes, I'm going to cut it off. He said, no, you're not going to touch it. So they ended up fighting. And the righteous servant of Allah beat up the shaitan really bad. Shaitan was beaten up real, real, real bad. And, so the guy tied down the shaitan and left him tied down. So the shaitan said, I have an idea for you. He said, what? He said, if you postpone cutting the tree for one day, I give you one golden coin. For every day. So every day you find the golden coin under your pillow. Okay. Every time, then you postpone cutting the tree to the next day. So the righteous servant, thought that, I'm going to cut the tree anyway. So let's see how much gold I can get. So first day he found the gold. He didn't go cut the tree. Second day, he found the gold. He didn't go cut the tree. Third day, he found the gold and he didn't go to cut the tree. Okay. Fourth day, there was no gold under the blanket, under the pillow. So he got so mad and he got his axe and he started walking towards the tree to cut it off. Shaitan appeared in the way and Shaitan told him, where do you think you're going? He said, I'm going to cut that tree. He said, no, you can't. He said, yes, I can. Then they started fighting, okay? And the shaitan was able to defeat the righteous servant and tie him down and cut his hands and legs. So the righteous servant said, how come in the first time I was able to defeat you, but now you defeated me? Shaitan said, and the first time you were going to cut the tree for the sake of Allah. Your intention was, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. But the second time, but this time, you're going to cut the tree because you didn't find the golden coin. So you did it because of the gold, not because of Allah. Okay? So the first time when you were sincere, you became so strong, you were very strong, nobody would ever be able to defeat you. Because you were so sincere, your intention was good and you had the support of Allah. But now, when your intention is for gold, then you are so weak. And it's very easy for me to chain you down and cut down your legs and hands. Okay? What happened if somebody wanted to do a good deed, but he changed his mind? So he said, I'm going to fast tomorrow, but changed his mind and he said, maybe not. So what happens? He gets one good hasana, one good deed. if he fasts, if he performs the intended worship, then he gets 10 as the usual multiplier in hasanat. Is each one is worth 10 points or 10 hasanat or 10 good deeds. But if you didn't do it, but you intended to do it, you get only one. Okay. And by the way, 10 times is not always 10 times. It's between 10 and 700. So a person could have his deed rewarded 700 times. And that is the person with that depends on how sincerity, level of sincerity and level of hardship and things, sacrifice and things are like that. Now, when a person wanted to do a bad deed, but he changed his mind, okay? And the reason he changed his mind was the fear of Allah. He wanted to go buy a liquor from the liquor store. In the way, he felt ashamed of himself and he said, I do this to disobey Allah? No way. Then he made a U-turn and he went back home. So that was... this one, the person gets a lot of good deeds, a lot of hasanat for doing this, okay? But another guy, compared to another guy who went to buy the liquor, but before he buys it, he thought that, he remembered that his doctor said, if you drink liquor again, you're going to die. And it's really bad for your health. So now he remembers this, so he goes back home. He returns, he makes a U-turn and go back home without liquor, okay? Because it's not good for his health. Now, how about this one? Okay, is he going to be punished or rewarded? Okay, he's not going to be punished or rewarded. It would be even. He didn't drink the liquor and because of the doctor, not because of Allah, because of his health, then fine. He just gets even. No reward, no punishment. No bad deeds, no good deeds. Except in Mecca. If this scenario happens in Mecca, then that person will earn a bad deed. Why? Because Mecca is haram city. Haram city means that very restricted. Very restricted. Any mistake in Mecca is multiplied several times. As compared to sins outside of Mecca, where Allah said in Surah Al-Hajj, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. The ones who intend to do anything wrong in Mecca, they get a severe punishment. Okay. Sometimes situations where we are not judged for what we do are when we're forced, when we make a mistake, when we're forced, and when we forget. So if we forget, if we are forced, then, or if we make a mistake, then Allah doesn't judge us. Allah forgives these automatically, okay? Innocent errors, Allah forgive them automatically. Ammar ibn Yasir has a story that his father Yasir and his mother Sumayya, they were, the three of them, the family was captured by Abu Jahl and tortured for being Muslims. So Ammar is watching, his mother got killed out of torture and his father got killed out of torture. And now it's his turn. So they came and asked him, do you worship, do you denounce, curse Muhammad and curse his religion? So he cursed Prophet Muhammad and he cursed the religion. So they let him go. So when he arrived, he went to Prophet Muhammad crying so hard and he said, I did curse you and curse Islam because of this and that. He told him the story. So Prophet Muhammad said, okay, if they do it again, curse again. Don't worry. First of all, he asked, how is your heart? What is your heart? What's the condition of your heart? Do you really mean it? He said, no. He said, then if they do it again, personally, you're okay. Okay. His mother Sumayya, what was special about her, that she was the first martyr in Islam. The first martyr in Islam was a woman. Her name is Sumayya because she was killed under torture by Abu Jahl because they wanted her to quit Islam and she refused. Now, the rule of combining intentions. Okay, you can combine two good intentions. For example, you want to go to the masjid to pray and buy milk on the way back. So you have two intentions, but both intentions are good. Buying milk is good, praying in the masjid is good. So you can combine them. It's very fine, very valid when you combine them. Okay. But combining good intention with a bad intention would result into a bad intention. For example, somebody says that I want to go to the masjid to pray and to show off. Then showing off is a bad intention. This will override the good intention, which is to pray. Guarding the intention is another very important thing to keep in your mind, because you might have a good intention before you do the deed, which is like good intention before praying, for example, and good intention during doing the deed. So good intentions during prayer, for example. But later on, after you're done, people praise what you did. So you feel proud of yourself and start becoming arrogant. Okay, so you got good, you have a good intention at the beginning, good intention through doing the deed, but bad intention at the end. So that bad intention will spoil the deed. So even though after you did it, and it was with good intention, yes, but the bad intention overrides that. And this is why, the people who die, the intention is based on the final status. In other words, if you start with a good intention and you die with a bad intention, then you have a problem. But if you start with bad intention but you end up with good intention, then it's good. You're good. Okay. Some people go to the Islamic activities, for example, to participate in the Islamic activities and at the same time to see if they can find a wife. Okay. Is this okay? Yes, because combining both good intentions together. If I guard my intention before the deed and during the deed and after the deed and the final result. So if you combine a good intention with a good intention with a good intention, the final result would be good intention. If you combine good with bad, the final result would be bad. If you combine good and bad and good, the final result would be good. So the results depend on the end, always. Allah judges by the end condition. If you start bad and end good, then it counts as good. If you start good and end bad, then it counts like bad. Okay? So when you combine good, bad, good, it's good. Bad, good, good, it's good. Bad, bad, good, it's good. Good, bad, it's bad. So always, the result is always going to be this column here. Okay, bad, bad, and bad. Okay, also intention is 1/3 of religion, that the hadith of the intention, which is the number one hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, the first one in the opening, which is because this is the most important hadith in Islam. They say it's 1/3 of Islam, okay, that the other 2/3 are not any good without. So 1/3 of Islam is the knowledge of this hadith is 1/3 of Islam, or this hadith provides 1/3 of Islam, okay, that the other 2/3 are not good without, because if your intention is bad, everything is going to be bad. If your intention is right, everything will be right. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the first people that will be dragged on their face to hellfire are a scholar of Islam, a teacher of Quran, a monk worshipping in a place, and a martyr who got killed in a war. So the person who's taught Quran, he goes to Allah and he says, "Ya Allah, I've been teaching Quran for your sake." He said, "You're a liar. You taught Quran so that people will say that you know Quran to show off. I owe you nothing. Your reward was whatever you got out of showing off, and you go to hell." The second one is the person who is a scholar. He says, "Ya Allah, I learned Islam. I taught Islam for your sake." Allah would say, "You're a liar. You taught Islam so that people can call you the teacher of Islam, the teacher of Islam. And you're not going to be rewarded. You will be punished for that, because your reward was whatever you intended, which was to people to talk about you." And the rich person, the generous person who donated money, he says, "Ya Allah, I donated my money for your sake." Allah says, "Liar. You donated money so that people can talk and say you're generous. And that was your reward, that people said you're generous. I owe you nothing. Now it's time to go to hell." And so forth, okay? So, and those people, the Prophet said, those people are the ones who are thrown in hell first. The ones that did good deeds, but they had bad intention. All right, do you guys have any questions?